All right, welcome to another edition of the Streaking Line podcast. Once again, my name is Pierce, and once again, I've got Caroline, the world's greatest co-host with me. How's it going?
Hey, it's good. Hey. What's going on?
Not too much. Very excited for our special guests this week. If you want to introduce our special guests.
Yes, I'm very excited. Listeners, you might actually recognize his voice if you often take in the Virginia basketball games via radio. We have with us today Jim Miller, who's joining us usually alongside Dave Kane. So you'll have to forgive us if we're not as good as Dave, but also maybe talk about Dave if we're better. But Jim, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, I'm doing great. And thank you both for having me on.
Absolutely. So you were on the last time, you were on the team the last time Virginia was ranked number one. But more recently, let's kind of talk a little bit about getting into the broadcasting radio side of things. This is your first season doing the radio gig with Virginia basketball. How has that been, and what kind of, how are you more comfortable now? How have you enjoyed that whole process?
Yeah, the most popular question that I seem to have gotten over the last several months, when people found out that I'm doing this, they ask me, are you enjoying it? And the short answer is absolutely. I mean, I get to watch great basketball up close.
Good seats.
And great seats, right? You're absolutely right, next to the bench. And the kids are good kids on the team, and the staff, they're quality individuals. So getting to know each of them has been great. And oh, by the way, the team's kind of good too. So yeah. It has been really enjoyable watching this. And I got to be totally honest in that if, you know, you said at the beginning of the year, oh, this team's going to be ranked number one in the country and they have only lost two times, you know, could not have imagined that in my wildest dreams. So I am thoroughly enjoying it. I have learned a lot. I've learned a lot about, you know, looking at different ways of studying the game. I've learned kind of the process and the philosophy of running that organization kind of from a managerial standpoint. Mm-hmm. And I think all that combined, here's the way I would sum that up is that if we were 10-10 right now, honestly, I think I'd still be having a great time because intellectually it's stimulating. I'd never done this before, so it was a challenge. I knew it was going to be a challenge for me, kind of going outside of my comfort zone. And I think it's good for all of us, whatever we are doing, to kind of put ourselves outside of that. And I knew that was going to be the case for me. And as we've gotten into it, it's just like anything, you got to get the reps in. And so if I look back at day one to where I am today, I feel much more comfortable. I understand the mechanics of it a lot better, getting in and out, the saying what you got to say in a very short period of time, not stepping on Dave, you know, not always a strength of mine. So it's been a fun and good challenge all at the same time.
Awesome. And you've been in Charlottesville for a while now. Is that right, Jim?
Yes.
Okay. So you have, how much have you been able to, I'm guessing, follow the team along the years since being in Charlottesville, but also, so what is that like seeing the development of the team? And then are you the lucky token that's coming in this year to bring them this good luck? Brought them another one?
Well, I don't know about that. You know who I get texts from friends who are indicating that to me, and then I realize all those people are my age. So they're like the old school guys that are like, you realize, you know, you're the one. And so I've had a chance. We've been fortunate that we've had season tickets for a number of years now, and so my wife and I have had the opportunity to go to almost every home game over that time period. So getting to see those guys up close and seeing the progress of the various teams and all the wonderful players that they've had before this year, seeing those guys come through and seeing how Coach Bennett and his staff kind of do their thing and run their process and have built the program to what it is today. So it's been that's been pretty neat and special.
Awesome. Can you talk a little bit about the comparison in your time in this basketball program? I mean, what do you see in Tony's program versus Coach Holland's, or are there major differences? Or, I mean, both successful coaches with successful teams. There's got to be a lot in common, I would think.
You know, that's a great question. I have been asked that before, and I've given thought to that. And what's kind of neat for me is that back when I played during that time period, we did a lot of the same things that they do today as it relates to those five pillars. And when I first met Coach Bennett and he talked about the five pillars, that really resonated with me because I personally identified with that. And we might not have called them by those names then, but we certainly adhered to those things. And so there are a lot of similarities. I mean, we were pretty aggressive, defensively oriented team, but we probably scored more points. But I think the game is just so different today than it is then. We probably turn the ball over more than this team does. But we very similar in a lot of ways. I think we were very well prepared. Obviously, this Virginia team is very well prepared when they go on the road and playing all the teams in the conference, but even outside of the conference. And I felt like our Virginia teams back during the Holland era, we were always very well prepared. And it's a battle when you're in the league playing. Back then, we'd play everybody home and away. Right, so we were playing Duke and Carolina twice a year, and all the other teams. And so it pretty much, you get to the point where you can just throw the scouting report out the window because everybody knows what everybody else does. But we would play occasionally we'd play these teams outside of the conference, and we always did well against those guys as well. And I think that's just because we were so well prepared.
Gotcha.
When you look at, all the stuff through, I guess now 3 weeks in a row, Virginia has been number one, which is impressive to handle the pressure of becoming the first time in 35 plus years, number one ranked team. What was that like to be on a team that was ranked number one, and what kind of internal pressures are there versus external pressures? How hard is it? Like, the guys have done a really good job, and Coach Bennett's done a really good job of, I think, keeping everyone pretty level and they have their eyes on the prize. But how tough is that, especially when you look at some of these guys that it's been 35 years and the fan base has been clamoring for something like this?
Well, I think you make a great point, Caroline, and that this team this year they've got an A+ on staying focused on the task at hand. And Coach Bennett, I mean, that's a tribute to Coach Bennett and his entire staff for keeping everybody focused on the task at hand. I can tell you, going back to our days from a player's perspective, being a number one ranked team, you have to keep in mind when I came in as a freshman or a first year student, Virginia was already ranked number one. So I overlapped with Ralph Sampson for a couple of years. And so they were ranked number one or number two in the country. And as a 17 or 18 year old kid, that was pretty spectacular. And maybe years later to fully appreciate what that was versus just being any of us being inserted into anything at 18 years of age. And it's like, okay, this is just what it is, right? This is the way it is. And It was 24/7. What I mean by that is, particularly when Ralph was on the team, going out to eat, there were people coming up for photo ops, wanting a signature, to just being recognized everywhere you went in public. And the fact that there are only 12 or 15 guys on the team, is like everybody knew who all the players were, and we were easily recognizable. And so that's a interesting sensation dynamic. I think when you look at the pressures that come with being number one, it's kind of like a double, you know, it's a two-sided coin. And if used properly, it can be worth 6 to 8 points a game for you. An example of that might be at Pitt this last weekend. I think Pitt was intimidated right out of the gate because they were playing the number one ranked defensive team in the country. And, oh, by the way, they're the number one ranked team in the country. And I think just Virginia was able to use that to their advantage and create separation early. The flip side of that, and I think it's going to be really interesting as the season goes longer now. I mean, we're near the end, but being now you're the one being the hunted, and you've got the bullseye on your back, and the pressure of now each game becomes more and more meaningful. You know, 3 weeks ago, to your point, Caroline, we could have lost, you know, and okay, we're playing again tomorrow. Well, we got I guess a minimum of four more games, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah.
And so each game is going to be more and more meaningful. I can tell you this, that Ralph Sampson's senior year, so that was my sophomore year, 82-83, we were the number one seed in the West region of the NCAA tournament. And I do remember, because it was Ralph Sampson's last year, Virginia is expected to win the national championship. He's the greatest college player, arguably, of all time. And so the expectations were for us to win the national championship. And I think that pressure starts with the administration and trickles all the way down to the coaching staff. Hmm. And then from the coaching staff, it trickled down to the players. And I mean, I can remember a practice. We were out in Boise, Idaho, in the West region, having practice leading up to our last two games out there in that region. And we're having fights in practice because the practices were so intense, and the coaches were yelling, and we had players throwing the basketball around. I could joke about it now, but at the moment and in the time, that's how intense the situation was. And I remember Ralph Sampson pulling all of us after one of these practices. He called a team meeting, so without the coaches, and he got us all into a hotel room, and he just started telling us, you know, hey, we need to play together, forget about all this other stuff. We need to do this. We got here together. We need to finish this and put all that other stuff aside. But I think it just speaks to the magnifying glass that is placed upon that team in particular with Ralph Sampson. This team is a little different because they don't have that one player that is so once in a generation really type player. So, but all that being said, so far, I think this team has handled that remarkably well.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
With, you know, the pressure of the number one seed, I think there's a unique aspect for this UVA team and an added pressure because of the perceived lack of success in March. I mean, they've got the ACC tournament win, which is huge, and obviously have made, you know, sweet 16s, elite eights, but they've been the one seed a couple times and still haven't cracked that final four. So that's definitely dominating in my mind, the national talk about UVA. You know, are they a contender for the Final Four? What is it about the program or the system that may have prevented them from reaching it as a one seed in the past few years? Do you get a sense from whether it be the coaches or players or people in the program that they feel that pressure because the Brogdon teams, Joe Harris teams didn't quite get there?
I don't think they feel that yet. Mm-hmm. And the question, you know, we should ask that question again after the ACC tournament, regardless of what they do in the tournament. I think this team is different in a lot of ways than trying to compare them to some of the past teams. Mm-hmm. And I know collectively as a group, they're not focused on that. And I think that is an example of the players getting on social media, reading it, picking up the newspaper, and reading that stuff. That's where they can get in trouble. And anybody, that's one of the pressures and the hurdles and the obstacles, if you will, of playing in that position. We used to have a saying that only believe half of what you read. You're never as good as they say you are, and you're never as bad as they say you are. So I think the guys that start to read, you know, oh, we're expected to win this game, or we're expected to, you know, I don't know how they manage the coaching staff, how they manage that stuff, and you can't keep the guys off of it, but it speaks to their ability to be so well grounded and mature right now, and in the process is really impressive.
I think there's a difference, or there's a few differing personalities that you can kind of see online, where Kyle Guy will go out and quote retweet the haters, as you know people like to say, and he kind of brushes, I think he not lives for that stuff, but he does a good job of like brushing it off, and it goes right off his back. And Isaiah told me once after a post game not to go on the internet. So that's what Zay does too.
That's good.
When you look at this team specifically, in comparison to, you know, we've been dealing with, myself included, some nervous fans, I guess. I hear these guys talking, and I see these guys play, and they're doing so well and have all the pieces that I think that they need to make a Final Four or win a national championship. And even saying that out loud makes me feel nervous and that I'm jinxing something and I need to like knock on the closest wood possible. But what characteristics do you see in this team this year that you think could help them, that will be crucial to them making a Final Four? And do you think this is a Final Four caliber team?
Well, the short answer is yes. They do have the ability to certainly make it to the Final Four. I feel some of those same things that you've just described. Mm-hmm. I've got friends of mine, former teammates, who've been texting me for several weeks now, saying this team is a Final Four team. They're going to the Final Four, and I'm like, wow, hold on. Let's beat Syracuse first, okay? I mean, you know, and this was at, you know, Syracuse. It was just the next game and the next, but the fact that we're talking about it and we feel it and gets people excited, it's something to talk about, and that's great, and they should embrace that, right? I mean, that's part of what makes this so exciting and a memorable year in so many ways for these guys already. But can they get over the hurdle, I guess, and make it to the Final Four?
Yeah.
And I know that that's their goal. Listen, this is a very balanced scoring team. So they've got different players that can step up on any given night, from Devin Hall and his maturity, and a fifth year senior, and Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome. You've seen DeAndre Hunter off the bench. Isaiah Wilkins can get you 10 points a night, maybe 12, you know, if needed. Nigel Johnson and his ability to come in, and he can score, but he can also defend. So they're balanced all across that. They're a great defensive team, as we know. I think the maturity of of Devin Hall, Isaiah Wilkins, and Jack Salt, and they lead by example. Mm-hmm. And then there's this special ingredient that I don't think you can underscore enough, and that is the chemistry of this yes. team. So it really is their ability to play together, the unselfishness that you see out of all these players. That's really, really special. And so you've got all those things working together. Can they continue to play together? Yeah, I think it's going to take everyone staying healthy.
Sure.
You have one key injury to somebody, that's going to change the dynamic. I'll say this, a concern could be a poor shooting night, mm-hmm. Playing against another team that is on fire and making everything.
Usually hard to beat those.
Yeah, so
those are hard to beat, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe you played 3 out of 5, you might beat those guys. 2 out of 3, you might beat those guys. Right. So that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament. And all that together, and it still takes a little bit of luck.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that this is a team that's really obviously exceeded preseason expectations or early season expectations and wasn't seen to be the UVA team that could be a national title contender like some of the other ones. You know, coming in with Malcolm as a senior, I think people were throwing Virginia in preseason as that type of level of success. This team, you know, wasn't even preseason top 25, and yet they're the ones that are being as dominant as we've ever seen in the ACC. I mean, they're 1 point from being undefeated still. A lot of that probably can be attributed to what you're talking about with teamwork and playing together, and just they really gel so well and they know their roles, et cetera, et cetera. How much do you see as maybe a reflection of the rest of the conference being a little bit different this season? Or is it just, this is just the perfect creation of all the everybody knowing their role for UVA that has just worked out so well?
Wow. I think it's probably a combination of all those things, really. Sure. I mean, the guys we're saying the same thing over and over again, right? They've mm-hmm. played together, and their ability, I mean, and this is what's amazing to me, is their ability to be able to go on the road and get it done. And it probably starts on the defensive end. So if you're not shooting well, you can still stay in games. And one of my concerns was, month and a half ago, how will this team handle adversity? And mm-hmm. what I meant by adversity then was, what if they do lose on the road somewhere and then lose the next game? And all of a sudden they've lost 2 in a row. How would they respond to that? I was looking at the schedule just like all of us were. And I thought, wow, that's going to be a tough game at Florida State.
Yeah,
guys are tired. You know, I mean, this time of the year and the season, a lot of factors kind of working against you. You kind of got the bullseye on your back now, and some people are gunning for you. And we won that game.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, okay, Miami, that's going to be a tough one at the 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night, or whatever it was.
That was my pick. That was my one I looked at and was like, ooh, this Miami game. I don't like that one.
Well, particularly coming off the loss to Tech preceding it. I mean, it sort of sets up a disaster scenario, a game that could be easily losable, and now it's a 2-game losing streak for the a team that wanted to be number one. Ah.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's how slippery this whole thing really can be, right?
Right.
And that goes back to somehow they figured out a way to win that game. And now what's, and then the next game that's up, okay, what is it? And staying in the moment. And that's where all that social media and all the different outlets where you can start to read. And now you start to believe, oh, wow, maybe we really are that good. Maybe we maybe we are a Final Four team. Maybe we are going to win the national championship. And it and that can change in the way you approach each game. And it goes back to their ability to not get ahead of themselves. Now, we're saying this with two games still left to play, right? Yep. I mean, we could if we were having this conversation on Sunday and they go and lose at Louisville and then they get upset at home against Notre Dame, right? Are we not having the same conversation? Oh,
yeah,
gosh,
exactly.
What's happened? What's wrong?
Yeah.
So it's fun for us to talk about and to look ahead. But I love and I get to see these guys up close, and particularly the staff. I get to see how they approach each game, and it really is amazing to see how they have kept the guys focused. And if you listen to Coach Bennett, I mean, he just says it. He, you know, we want to go out there. We want to play hard. We want to defend, make the opposing team really work and earn everything they get. And if we limit them to one shot and we take care of the basketball, we're not going to beat ourselves. And it's going to take the opposing team to play really well to beat us. And that can happen. And he'd be okay with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't like the loss, but if we play the best that we can play and take care of the basketball, hold them to one shot, get back in transition defense, and make them work and earn everything. So no easy transition baskets, no second chance opportunities. They really have to work and grind. We feel like we can outlast those teams more often than not. And they've done a remarkable job being able to do that up to this point. And I think that allows them to be in almost every game that they're going to play in for now and moving forward.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Coach Bennett, and you know, when I was in school, you know, basically the bringing on Coach Bennett has absolutely clearly changed Virginia basketball for the better. And you hear him walk into the arena and it's like a, you know, team concert, like with the shrieks and the cheers and the excitement. And this is, you know, his
that's just all from Caroline.
Yeah, that's just me personally in the press. But I mean, like, you can't ask for any more. I think everyone's a pretty big fan of Tony Bennett, to put it lightly. But you kind of look at the landscape of the ACC this year, and his name is one of the two to three that you hear a lot, both for ACC Coach of the Year and potentially National Coach of the Year, a lot of which probably stemming from people not doing their due diligence preseason and not ranking Virginia at all. So it makes it look more, you know, bigger comeback with unranked to number one, like that kind of thing. But where do you fall on that discussion of, like, do you see Tony Bennett as the ACC Coach of the Year this year?
Wow, it's hard. It's hard to not. Mm-hmm. I would agree that he has done an amazing job with this team and bringing this team together and getting everybody, we used to have a saying, getting everybody on the same page and buying in, and that's what it takes. And it doesn't start, you know, October 1st. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't start June 1st back in the summer. I mean, this is a work in progress. If you look back, what was one of the many things that's impressive about him to me was when you look back at that Elite Eight loss against Syracuse, I was at that game. And I watched it and I saw the, like, oh my gosh, what happened? And every Virginia fan watching that, I know, had to be devastated because that team was destined to go to the Final Four.
Ugh. Even thinking about it now, I still get, like, I see, like, but that was the Brogdon and the Gill year. Like, we should have been in the Final Four. Yeah. No.
Yes. And go back and find, I can't even remember exactly what he said, but it's how he said it. You go find that post-game interview, and it was the way he conveyed, you know, he was thankful for the opportunity. He was, mm-hmm. you know, he says and does all those right things. But I think it was that moment. There's that going through that gets us to where we are today.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, each of those experiences in the past is kind of a building block to get us into this position where we are today and being the number one ranked team in the country and having a chance to compete in the NCAA tournament and go deep. And I think when you look at the body of all that, that puts him in the conversation for being coach of the year. And you know, I don't make that decision, obviously. And
yeah.
I know there are a lot of other coaches who've had great seasons and, sure. and you know, could argue that, but you certainly got to put him in the discussion for that.
Yeah, I think Coach Bennett is always, I think he said something along the lines of like, tonight there's weeping, but joy will come in the morning. I think that's the press conference you're talking about. But, and I feel the same way regarding just really any, even a big win versus, you know, the loss to Virginia Tech. There's an evenness that he keeps that's impressive. I think you're always going to get the same, like he looks at things very analytically and doesn't get too high or too low. And that is a great quality, I think, of one of his many. But you mentioned, you know, two more games left for Virginia. We're recording this, and yes, they will get it before Louisville. Yay. So Louisville on the road, Virginia has a chance to go a perfect 9-0 on the road in ACC play, which honestly, every time I look at that stat this season is mind blowing. But Louisville game was one that Virginia won with offense in Charlottesville. Louisville shot over 50% in that game. How do you see Thursday night's game playing out, and what can you expect from the Cardinals this time around?
Yeah, that was a tough game last time around when we played them. Those were two high quality teams playing at a high level, I think, at that particular time. And Coach Pageant, you know, I'd give him a lot of credit. He's done a great job. And his staff and his players through what they've had to go through, particularly at the beginning of the year and all the adversity perhaps that they've been faced with. And, mm-hmm. and they did, they shot the ball, 50% last time they played us. And that's hard to beat. And the fact that if they shoot that, at home, they're going to be tough to beat. They're a great shot blocking team. Mahmoud inside, I think he averages 3 block shots a game, and yeah. I don't know where that ranks nationally, but that's got to be in the top 10. So they're big, long, athletic. They're rim protectors. They're aggressive on the basketball. They have length in the passing lanes, and they won their 4th ACC road game at Virginia Tech. They have a lot to play yeah. for. I think many are thinking of them as a bubble team right now for the NCAA yeah. tournament. So this is a really big game. Yet another example of what we've been talking about. So mm-hmm. for Virginia to go into that environment, having already secured the ACC regular season and the number one seed in the tournament, that, you know, you might not think that they will have much to play for. And I think Coach Bennett will have these guys up. They'll have to be ready. They'll have to be alert. They'll have to be crisp and on offense and sharp cuts and be very efficient with the basketball and play at a very high level, frankly, to play against Louisville, who has a lot to play for.
Absolutely. All right, before we let you get out of here, I know Caroline has some rapid-fire questions that she wants to throw out, but I'll interject right before that with, can you name the ACC team you least want to see the Hoos matched up against in the tournament, And then at the national landscape, we don't have to not look ahead like the players do. We like to look ahead here. Yeah. The same question for the national tournament. Is there a contender in the national tournament that you wouldn't want to see as UVA's, you know, two seed or three seed or maybe a underseeded, even more team, ACC and national teams, you're least looking for the Hoos to have to play?
Well, I think nationally, the one that jumps out to me is Michigan State. If we've got to cross paths with Michigan State.
Yeah.
That is correct.
that would be a battle and a challenge and, yep. and that'd be good basketball for all of us to watch, but Coach Izzo, they do a great job, and they'll be prepared whoever they end up having to play. So that would be one. And in the ACC tournament, you know, gosh,
it's tough when they keep beating everybody. So.
Well, it is, because it's tough to beat that a team a second time, and in maybe some cases a third time, right? Who would want to play Duke? They're very, very talented, and they were young and inexperienced earlier in the year. The talk is that Coach K would have those guys playing together, and while they're freshmen on paper, they won't be playing like freshmen, and they'll be playing together more so when you get to the end of the year. And so we're approaching it that. Grayson Allen's playing at a higher level now than he was before. So I don't know, that could be they're all going to be tough.
Yeah, I don't really want to play any of them. It's all
no.
Okay, so we close out with a little just fun rapid-fire questions. Nothing too intense, but I like to ask a series of questions for you just to get your take. So if you're ready, we'll jump into those.
Well, I don't know if I'm ready after that intro. But I'm hanging on. I'm hanging on right now.
All right. So you played in one and have obviously covered and been to games in one. Would you prefer U-Haul or JPJ?
JPJ.
Long pause. We'll take it.
What a great arena, and it gets loud in there.
Yeah.
Great home court advantage, and U-Haul was good for some elements of that. But yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. That's what I, you know,
yeah, listen, these guys have, like, have you seen their locker room?
Yeah.
I was so excited when I came as my first year, and we had carpeting in our locker room with the metal lockers. We had carpeting, and there was a pinball machine in the locker room. How cool is that? You know, I thought, wow, this is
big time.
Wow.
This is the one. That's awesome. If you had to call another sport on grounds, not basketball, which one would you choose? You could make yourself an expert in the sport if you needed.
Men's soccer.
Ooh, okay. That's a good one.
And crossing over to women's soccer, because I don't watch enough of that. I would enjoy watching the women's soccer team play more. And my roommate in college was a great soccer player at Virginia. So he played under those teams with Bruce Arena. And I always joked with him, like, oh, I could be goalie. Here, come on. I could play goalie for you guys. And so he took me out on the soccer field once, and he's 30 yards away, I kid you not. And I'm standing in the net, and he kicks a ball, and I barely had a split second that I barely got my hands up in front of my face, or that ball would have broken my nose. I know. I mean, it came at me at 100 miles an hour, just happened to glance off of my fingertips. And then I thought, you know what, maybe not.
Would you rather have a monster dunk or a huge block?
Oh, a monster dunk. I had more monster dunks than I ever had huge blocks.
All right. Which player on this current UVA team would you not want to have had to defend? Or face at all. So either way, like if you don't want to go against their defense either, I'll take either answer.
Yeah, I think going against their defense. Can I list the team as a whole, their defense?
Yes. That works.
I mean that was I watched them play and I like, wow, it's really hard to get into the paint and mm-hmm. touch the paint and I often try to put myself in that situation. It's like, wow, would I even be able to get a shot off in this game today? I don't
know. They don't let you take a couple cracks.
No, boy, that would be tough. Yeah.
Yeah. I love watching the defense. All right. Last one. Favorite restaurant, Charlottesville. Let's go easy.
Oh gosh.
I thought this was going to be the easiest one.
That's a hard question. This is,
there's so many great choices. And this is like a free plug in many ways.
It's but so it, true, it, yeah.
You know, yeah. The there are some Hamilton's on the downtown mall. It's a classy, nice joint, and the people that own that place and the people that work there are really good people.
Good stuff.
Sounds good to me. All right, that's my last question.
All right, well, we'll let you go, and thanks again so much for coming by and talking to us, and enjoy the road trip to Louisville, and we'll see you at the tournaments.
Yes.
Look forward to it, and thank you both for having me.
Absolutely, thanks, Jim.
All right, and stay tuned to streakingthelaw.com for all your finishing up the regular season and your ACC and NCAA tournament coverage. And until next time, I'm Pierce for Caroline and the rest of us here. Go Hoos.